Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. So welcome, David Hersfield, on the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
David, you have a long story, a long history in entrepreneurship, and the company you're currently working on is Techies. T-K-Y-Z, right? Techies.
Yeah, Techies.
So today we have you on the MarTech podcast, and we're going to learn a lot from you because we have spoken a little before, and you have a lot of experience in building teams remotely. You have people working in India, all over the US. So that's something we would specifically like to talk about a little later on. But first of all, who is David?
Okay. So I have been doing software development and virtual management of teams in many areas, in particular for myself and some customers in MarTech for, well, software development for the last 30 plus years. The current company I have now has been for the last 13 plus years. And we're located in Scottsdale, Arizona, but we have clients all around the US and in Canada and some in Europe.
Nice. So you're located in sunny Arizona?
Very sunny Arizona.
Yeah, and you have people working for you. We checked on your LinkedIn profile. We'll put your LinkedIn profile in the show notes for our listeners as well, so they can look you up and connect later on. But you also have, you're also owner or co-owner of a company with people working in India. You have people working remotely. So how is your team built at the moment?
Okay. So, and I have two companies. One of my other company is one that was a partnership that started, they started out as a client of mine and I ended up partnering. And we focus on software in healthcare. Techies is not quite so specific. We are much more broad in how we focus. The other company is called Anzu. I only bring that up because I had been working remotely with offshore developers for several years before I started this partnership. We decided to start our own wholly owned subsidiary in India. And so I work with multiple teams in India, but one of them is actually a company that we own, that we set up, which I don't recommend anybody do. That's really hard. Very tough to have a foreign owned company in India. We've survived it and made it through the difficulties of that setup process, but it's not for the faint of heart. So how I started working offshore in 2002 when it was really, before it was really a thing. And I made a lot of mistakes along the way. And I'll share some of those mistakes to so that maybe other people can avoid that. To be successful working offshore, the number one thing you have to do is vet the skill set of the people that you're working with. So have small, very small projects that you can test that person with. And what you're vetting them for is that they're efficient, that they can deliver whatever it is. So if they're writing for you, if they're using some of your existing tools, working on your WordPress blog, doing marketing related activities for you, you know, make sure that they're living up to the quality requirements that you set for yourself and that they're efficient at delivering it. They deliver it consistently, that they don't have spurts of productivity and then you don't hear from them for a few days and then they have spurts again. It's very hard to manage a group like that. But before you even start going offshore, you have to have your procedures and processes nailed down to the nth degree so that it's just a cookbook. If you don't have that, don't even start thinking about getting other people involved. That's the number one piece of advice I can give to anybody. Otherwise, it ends up being impossible to manage and track your the metrics of what's going on if you don't know exactly what to expect because you've done it 100 times or hundreds of times yourself in that exact same way and have it all documented.
My question there would be, once you have that, you need to monitor quality, monitor the work that's being done, productivity, etc. So, and you can use some MarTech tools for that, like dashboarding. Do you have that in place, or have you any experience there?
Yeah, I have some experience there. That's an area that is high on my list to really improve a lot, though. But yes, I do have some experience with dashboarding and being able to see all of your metrics across all your various properties from a single place. In fact, I like that Google has built their own dashboarding tools in the last, they've made that available in the last couple of years.
The data studio,
exactly. What I don't like about it is that they don't feel that the world needs to drill down.
The fun thing, we had that discussion recently, Mark here with me, on the quality of all, let's say, analysis that we're doing. Where marketing is tending to become more and more data-driven. Mm-hmm. We all seem to want to work in the cloud. So we want to have fast access. Everything needs to be done within a second. But if you need a good analysis, that sometimes takes a minute or two or maybe even an hour. And we don't want to wait for that. So I would say data quality, drill down, etc. Needs improvement there. There is some other tools there. But the other thing is that we as marketers are not, have the most of them have not chosen to be a marketer to be in a data-driven environment. They usually are creative people.
Then I would say they're not marketers. They're creative people.
Yeah.
There's creative people in marketing. You need creative talent, right? And the creative talent's the hardest one to outsource using a cookbook, because you have to just find good creative people that are available to you and consistent and quick at delivering what they do in design and copy and whatever. But you can't create a cookbook for creative people other than how you want it communicated to you. That's the cookbook you get, like a branding a branding guide for a company.
Completely agree.
Yeah, I think that what we also notice is that for us, it's more like normal work, so we're in the middle of it, but we've noticed time that we are a little bit ahead of that stream, but there's a new breed of marketeers coming, and they are in the middle. You've got on one side the creative ones, and you've got on the other side the database marketeers, or let's say the code nerds. But what modern marketing needs are people that are in the middle, that they are the best, like a hybrid. Mm-hmm. Kind of person that is creative, and not just creative making nice things, but creative in solutions, creative in interpretation of data. And with there is data interpretations, create creative solutions. And that's, I think, what modern marketing requires. Mm-hmm. But that's still... it's a long way to go.
I think
it's a hard skill set to find.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But on the other hand, all marketing functions will turn into partly technical functions. So whether you want it or not as a marketer, you know, you need to have understanding of how the technology works. Say that basically you as a marketer, it's better to choose best of breed and in an ecosystem and then connect them through a Zapier or Blender or whatsoever?
Absolutely start there, I think, because the problem with the other tools, even though they, Infusionsoft or whatever it is, they're excellent in terms of what they do, but you're locked into them. They have a lot of integrations, and so you can step out in pieces, but you're also driving your cost up because you're using you know, tools that are priced at a premium that limit you in certain ways because they require a certain amount of information and functionality to flow through their own channel. And there's a lot of limitation about how you can step out with just pieces. The tools don't all exist yet, but for example, you have tools like Slack now that can integrate with thousands of other products, right? Yeah. And very and effortlessly. It's not just integrate, but it's an effortless integration. So like you can, you know, you get your airplane tickets and check flight schedules and do, you know, all inside of Slack without without even having to know anything about how Slack works, or almost nothing about how Slack works. Well, I'll give you an example, like using a product which right now to try to help help a client who loses a day a week because getting ready for a type of network meeting every Tuesday, and every Monday spends the whole day preparing for it. And the preparation is it basically sells 50 seats every single week, and it's a really successful group. And they're just about to franchise this too. And of course, they're not going to be able to be very successful doing that without automating these workflows, because the franchisees that buy franchises for other cities to do this type of networking, they're not going
to
be the machine that the guy who runs the group is right now. And he's been doing this for 5 years. So so he gets a ticketing system. He has a ticketing system online, which doesn't have an API. They do have one integration with Zapier, but they don't have any API. And the way that they integrate with Zapier is very limited. So this makes the process very difficult. Stuff like this, I think, in another year or 2 years won't even exist, where tools don't have APIs that make it very easy to to utilize their product in the way that fits for you. Anyway, so we grab that data into Google Sheets and then use custom scripting in Google scripting to manipulate the data in a way that's usable for him. And then automatically copy stuff that matches for members of his, because he has both members and guests. And the members, he has these bios that are in this sheet of 1,000 of his members. So he goes and grabs the bio from the member sheet and copies it back over to his event sheet, which that sheet's automatically created from Ticket Tailor, but it's in Google Sheets. And it has the date of that particular event on it. And this is what I'm doing for him right now. Really simple scripting, just so that we can create automate that Monday for him, because there's 6 hours he spends every single Monday, which will now go down to maybe 30 minutes.
Cool.
And this is like the end of the funnel, right? The marketing funnel. So Google, you know, the Google products are really good, powerful. Clicky is one that we really like. CallRails, landing page wise, Unfunnel, and what's the other big one? It just slipped my mind.
Unbounce, InstaPages, or
InstaPages, ClickFunnels. That was the one I was thinking of. These are all these are all really good tools, and obviously understanding pixels and retargeting, and you know, these are all really important things that all need to be a part of this flow. And then of course MailChimp or SendGrid or one of the autoresponders, and then using something like Telecom for your chat, having a chat widget so that you can capture that, you know, if somebody has questions while they're on the page, that you can help move that process along in the flow. So, I mean, there's so many tools right now, but there's still some missing workflow pieces in there that would make it possible to duplicate what you're doing in things like Infusion and HubSpot, and then be able to snap complete solutions together out of pieces.
Well, I think you're so right there, because that's
we have that experience as well. For example, we've experienced with all the big vendors like HubSpot or Marketo or Acton or name it. You know, and specifically if you're building a MarTech stack, you know, if you're building a marketing automation platform, you need to combine it with a chatbot. You know, that could be things like Drift or whatsoever, but you also need good landing pages. And to be honest, the landing pages in those automation platforms, they're there and that's all, but they're not Unbounce or Instapagers or.
Right.
So building that marketing stack is something that's, we're just at the beginning of that era, I would say.
But I think it's
going to be so important for companies to be successful to have a MarTech stack in place.
And then, you have the reputation management side, right?
Right.
Which is its own marketing stack.
Right.
Pretty much, right? Yeah. So there's some great tools out for that right now.
Could you name some? Or
well, there's one called Review Kangaroo that I like, which is a little bit more expensive, but they allow you to review who it was that you interfaced with, not just the company.
Okay.
So, like, if you're a service-oriented company, let's say you repair. Your plumbing company, and you've got three trucks. And with Review Kangaroo, they'll help you get those reviews and make it easy for the person to review it. But they'll allow you to review the person who was coming out, not just the company.
Oh, okay. Ah, it's person based instead of organization based.
Cool.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
So
I should have a landing page on that on my website so I could do affiliate marketing for them. But anyway, I'm just saying that because
you're right, because like a normal Google reviews a company rather than a person that works for a company.
Exactly.
And if you have like multiple people and it's three or 300 or 3,000 people, you know, it makes it worthwhile, especially when you're doing a local, you have local people working for you.
Right.
Reviewed on a personal basis.
Yeah. And if somebody came to my house, I want them to get the credit. You know, the company can get the credit for having them, but I want to make sure that person's called out. Cool. And this way it happens automatically.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, it's all about humans. We quite honestly, we are only interested in people and humans.
I had one quick story I wanted to share about, since you mentioned landing pages. About 3 years ago on a, and there's two points to this story. I sat in on a seminar, a marketing seminar in Arizona. This company from southeastern Canada came in, and they are experts in conversion optimization. And that's all they do. All they do is convert traffic from landing pages to increase the sales for a company, or the capture of information for a company. And so they deal with large companies. And this was an auto insurance company. And they had a page that's getting a million hits a month or more already, right? And they were only given the little box on the page where the person would put in their postal code or their zip code. And they said, want to know more about your rates or whatever it said, enter your zip code. And then a little zip code, text field, and a box around that whole thing. And that's the only thing they could touch on the page. Really high traffic page, kind of a good exercise. So they split test this with 13 or 14 different variations. Colors and the text, size of the text, and whether the messaging was above or below. They would change the messaging up. They could slightly increase or decrease the size of the box and the size of the text field, things like that. They tried all these things, and they got a 6% or 7% variance. It was the biggest variance they could get, except for one change they made. They changed the shape of the box to the shape of a car. So it was an outline of a car around the box, and that increased the conversion by 75%.
Okay.
Wow. Now that was the first point, so that's where the creative person that you're talking about that understands the tools but is also smart enough to think outside the box in terms of how to solve problems, those are hard people to find, because that was just a fluke. Somebody threw that idea out in their group and they said, well, we can try that. Sounds kind of hokey, but what the hell? And of course, and they were looking at the numbers and all their heads were all tilted sideways going, is that, did that really happen? Now the second part of that was, because this was part of their presentation, they didn't explain what they did to try to understand those results. They had just, they said, well, we don't know why that happened. That was it. And they went on to their dumb conversion methodology, which was just, you know, which wasn't convincing in any respect. But that's the only thing from that hour-long presentation I remember, because everything else was just very standard and boring presentation, and none of it was really data-driven except that. And if you ever have a success like that, to anybody out there, make sure that you can explain why. And if not...
Sure. Otherwise, it's just a lucky shot.
Yeah, it's a lucky shot.
Right. So it made them look ignorant, you know, afterwards. Like a week.
How do they, you know, if it's a conversion agency, how do they make sure they can also implement it this with other landing pages?
Exactly.
Et cetera. You need to know why. It's just...
And if they just got that result last week and they didn't have time, they should be telling the audience, so now we have a team wrapped around this idea, and here are the things we're doing to validate what the reason was for such a big success, because we want to make sure that we can duplicate.
David, I would like to thank you very much, because as you've mentioned, we are going to invite you in 6 months, and you're going to share some MarTech tools with us. But for now, our time is up, so we need to wrap up. And you know, we'll put.
I hope I didn't just go on and not cover the things you wanted to talk about.
Oh, we did cover the stuff we wanted to cover. I think it was very interesting to our listeners, and we'll put your website and the link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. So if people want to reach out to you, they know where to find you on LinkedIn. They will connect. And again, I would like to thank you very much, David, for being on the show.
Okay, and Elias and Mark, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and to talk to your guests. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.